Just listening to that sounds like kind of a what is that? A terrifying roadshow going up out there, isn't it? It's amazing, really. It's kind of an interesting passage that kind of go. Why did God have this written down in the Word? So we're going to be taking a peek at that today. But before that, this last week at our Good News Club at the elementary school, I shared a spotlight. And there's three ladders. And then there's a cross on that page that I had. And, three of the ladders, they had these little clouds representing heaven. And three ladders, they were just, different heights, and they just didn't reach. And then, of course, a cross, was reaching into heaven. Well, I was explaining, this is the way we are as people. We tempt to try to reach God on our own. We have a lot of different ways we try to do that. And I gave them that verse, for all falls have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And then as I moved on talking, and then I started going, well, then what does that mean, for them? And really, when you look at man's attempt to reach heaven, it does fall short. And one way we try to do it is by doing. Right? You try to do. You're being as good as you can. You do this, you do that. Not saying that they're bad things. They're not, it's not bad, doing good things for people. I mean, yeah, thank you. Right? I've had a lot of people do nice things for me. They call them, a lot of people call them like their merit, making merit and things like that, so they can get up those rungs. I get another point. I get to go up another rung, another point, another rung. I'm going to get to heaven one day. I'm just going to keep working, keep on doing good. But eventually, because we're imperfect, because they forget about the minuses when they do sin or say something they shouldn't do, think something they shouldn't do, do something they shouldn't do, and then they slip down the ladder. See, eventually you realize that you just never can make it. You just can't make it. And another thing we do is by being. A lot of people say, well, I'm born in a Christian family. I'm Christian. I tell you, we can go around this nation. We can talk to a lot of people. Say, how you doing? Do you believe in God? And a lot of people say, yeah, I believe there's God. And say, are you a Christian? Say, yeah, I'm a Christian. My mom's a Christian. My dad's a Christian. I'm a Christian. See, the Israelites, same thing, right? They're the chosen people of God. We're in. We're chosen. Ooh, my granddad Abraham. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in. Problem is, you're not. The ladder on that one also falls short of heaven. And the last one is religion. Did you know that? That's man-made stuff. Did you know that? Christianity is not a religion. There's no rule that gets us into heaven. There's a faith by God's grace that gets us into heaven. But religion, whatever you want to call it, whatever religion, and I've seen a few of them, they're just man-made. People's efforts to get into God's presence, to make themselves good enough to reach and be able to go to heaven and be with God. And so I just go, whoa. The kids were pretty receptive. And if you ever been in part of that type of teaching with kids and stuff, it's a wonderful thing because they're so energetic and they're so free and sharing. And they're, stuff like that, and they're shouting the name of Jesus. It's so wonderful. And they're shouting the name of Jesus in a public school. Now, when you think about that, that's even more amazing. Isn't it? See, that's how God works. The impossible made possible. That's how he works. So those, it was just a blessing. But it reminded me, though, whenever I teach, I don't know about you guys, you have the opportunity to teach the Bible, I learn a lot. It reminds me of things I used to know or just enlightens me of something I had not caught on to. And even this, it reminded me, man, I got to be, I got to get on the right ladder. Well, the right ladder we know is who? Yeah. Yeah. He's the only one that can get us into heaven and through his blood. And so as we look at this passage, you kind of go, well, why do you talk about ladders? And you're looking at this and this, this horror, what is that, Rocky Horror Roadshow or whatever that was? I forget what that was, but there's something, but it's just something. This is strange. Why does this God have this in the Bible? Well, if you looked at Romans 15:4, and he kind of, remember, he says, all these things were written for examples to teach us, to instruct us. There's a reason for it. So now you have to put on your thinking hat. You got to get your little Sherlock Holmes pipe out, and you got to get your glasses on. You got to put the hat on. You got to get in there and start going, well, what is this really saying? Because the Pharisees, they read the scriptures, and they thought it was their salvation. Did you know that? Just reading it, those words on the paper. But they forgot the stuff in between the line, the actual relationship with the God who put that on the paper. And a lot of us get stuck there because we read and read and read, but it doesn't go here. It just goes here and here and boop and, wherever, and just dissipates in midair. Until we get it down in the heart, it's not going to really stick. And Jesus told him, he says, hey, you guys think that's your salvation, but that's been talking about me all along. Clue in here. So you think about here, with the ark and what's going on here, this battle that just happened. Just going, okay, well, what is the Lord trying to get at here? So we're going to try our best to unfold this for us and see how the Lord leads. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, thank you again for your word. And there's times, Lord, it's beyond us. And it's beyond me, I know for sure, if it isn't for your Holy Spirit revealing things, revealing truths, and your heart in this, Lord. There's just no way. For me, it's just above me. So I just praise you for that. And I pray that your name will be glorified, that you will move in a mighty way amongst us, speaking to our hearts. Reminding us and teaching us anew, Lord, and encouraging us and challenging us to step up, to get out of that that lazy boy chair and get close to you. So, Father, I just pray for your blessings here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you look, there's that battle. The context is, remember that battle happened. Israelites got walloped. And they came in and said, oh, look at this. It's their God. Sitting in this box. That box represents God to them and even to the Israelites. So they say, let's take that. This is the best plunder of all. So they take that, right? They take that with them. And, when you're going, there's a rumble in the temple. Well, I don't know if you ever remember that big fight between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, the rumble in the jungle. Do you remember that? Some of you younger guys probably go, huh? Yeah. You watched the video, did you? Somebody said that. You can watch the video. Yeah. That was actually a good fight. So when you have a war, usually you have a victor, most of the time. And that victor gets to take the plunder. And, I don't know, even in football, sometimes, they have this, maybe dirt rivals, and they might have a little trophy, and whoever wins that year gets to take that trophy with them, and they get to parade it around, yeah, and they put it in their trophy case for that year. They go, hey, look what we did. And other guys, some schools probably try to go in there and steal it or something like that, so they can't have, all that stuff. All right. So the plunder is there, and they think they got it. And the issue is this, they took it and they brought it in their temple and they put them, this, the Ark of God right next to Dagon. Dagon. I don't know how to say it. Dagon, I think is the name. Dagon is actually a veggie. What is it? A vegetarian. It's a vegan god of fertility. That's what their main god was. And he was actually supposed to be the dad of Baal, which was an idol that the Israelites had a lot of trouble with. They worshiped Baal quite a bit, and that's what's the issues between God and them came from that. So you have this plunder. And then there's this, of course, there's a war, right? We can see a war between two kingdoms. Like we were talking about in the VBS, we had the war between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And we see that in Exodus going on, and we see it again here. And Satan, you know, it's just, there's always a war. From Genesis to the end of Revelation, there's the battle of these two kingdoms going on. And now we see it again. And they're going, look what we got. Our God is better than yours. Right? So that's what they do. And I can see the main guy of the temple there going, hey, hey. He's calling out to everybody, hey, Ali, come y'all. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have you come and take a look at our God's superiority over the Israelites' God. And then they woke up in the morning, and what did they find? Boop. Boom. Dagon down on his face, or Dagon, whatever his name is. Down on his face. Well, they probably walked in and went, hey, don't come yet. Hold up. Technical difficulties. Technical difficulties. See you tomorrow morning. And then they wake up the next morning. What do they say? Ooh. Head is gone. Hands gone. Down on the, well, what would be the face, I guess. The body is prostrate before the ark. And I'm sure the big guy came in there and looked at it. He said, okay, hold up again. Technical difficulties, and we are closing indefinitely. All right, can you see that? They want to put on a show, and God's going, who's greater than who? And so these guys are going, whoa. You know, there's something going on here. I don't know. And so he gets, you know, their gods are getting toppled. That's pretty, I don't know. I to me, with something like that happening, I'd be kind of going, well, wow, this ark is pretty powerful. This God of Israel, maybe I need to give him more respect. Well, actually, you know, what they're doing, though, is they're just going to pass the buck to that roadshow taken on to the other cities and say, you deal with it now. And, you know, there's all. So what was happening there is we read there's, you know, a plague of sores and tumors and things like that. And there's death going on. So God wasn't just judging their God and showing his superiority over it, but he was also judging or disciplining the people of Philistines. Philistine, Ashdod, Ekron, Gath, all those cities. So, and really, you could say that the Philistines were in a category of that ladder of attempting to get to heaven by their own religion. They made their own religion. Somehow they decided to put Dagon as their main god and these other gods, and they'll put them up and they'll use them, and they're going to be good enough to get into heaven. That's their idea. The issue is this. There's a word written here in Romans 1. I don't know if you ever read this before. It's a scary word in some parts. Here, I'll read some of it. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress, listen to this, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Let me read that one more time. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And you can read the rest. But that says enough as it is. See, they're falling, they're doing their own thing. And when you're doing your own thing and you're doing, you know, being disobedient to what God has arranged for us, you're rejecting him and you're being disobedient. And now, you know, you're being dealt with. There's going to be a wrath coming in that. And the truth is there. They saw it. You know, especially those guys that were dealing in the temple, right? They saw their God fallen and being broken apart. And you know what they did? Instead of falling down going, oh man, this is the God of heaven and earth. We got to start worshiping the God of Israel. You know what they started doing? They started making another ritual. Now that the head of Dagon and his hands were on the threshold, now we shall step over the threshold out of reverence. That's man, isn't it? Isn't it? We suppress the truth, don't we? Dallas Cowboys won Super Bowl. Yeah. Hey, I'm not suppressing the truth. Ancient history, he says. Well, yeah, that's true. But all these things, we do this in our lives. We suppress the truth. I don't know about you. My life, when I was before Christ finally knocked me down, boy, did I suppress the truth. And I put them, remember how we shrink God? We shrink him down. I put him in pocket. I just use it as my little prayer charm. Oh, I prayed for God. I believed there was a God. I didn't give my life to him, my heart to him. I believe he existed. But I was suppressing the truth that he truly is God of the universe. And he's my maker, and I must bow and surrender to him. See, when those guys win a battle, a lot of times they would cut the head off of their defeated foes or their hands, and they'd bring them back for plunder so they can count them. How many did you kill? See, God, he's showing them. And he's judging them. He's disciplining them. And people say, well, God is so heavy-handed. The God of the Old Testament is so mean and so cruel. He hates me. He hates people. He must hate the Philistines. Oh, he must have really hated the Egyptians. How about the Americans? Ah, some. Oh. But you know what? I tell you this. If God is a cruel God in any way, we better start panicking like these Philistines and start running for the hills. Because we're in trouble. But praise the Lord, God is not this cruel God. Actually, he's a real good God. In fact, he's perfectly good, as Moses experienced. So he's not like this guy with this big gavel, you know, coming up and going, hey, boom! He doesn't do that. Now, people say, well, he does. I see it. Well, then there must be a reason for that. Why people are getting shaken up. People getting tumors. People who are dying. There's a reason then in what God is doing and all that. Because he is all powerful. The power source is in God himself. And if we read Job, you find out that even Satan had to come up and get permission to use his power to attack Job. See, if he already had his own power, he would have just forget about God because he's trying to dethrone God anyways, and he would have done it himself. No, he had to come to God. So God is the ultimate power source of the whole universe. And Satan, he's just a counterfeiter, as we're finding out in Exodus. He imitates and counterfeits. He looks like he's powerful. He lies. He deceives. So in Exodus, what God said had Moses and Aaron go up to Pharaoh and say this, let my people go. See, this isn't a cruel God. He's actually trying to rescue people. From what? Well, first of all, he's saying, well, you know, this is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. If you read Exodus, a lot of times he's saying that. And during those times of the plague, he says that a lot. He always brings that up. That you may know that I am the Lord. And when he's saying the Lord, he is saying, I am the awesome one. I am the creator of the universe. I am the great I am. I am nothing that you can put in your pocket. So God's goal is that the Philistines know him. God's goal is that the Egyptians know him. God's goal is the American people will know him. God's goal is Israelite people know him. And it keeps going and going and going. So these shakeups, you know, oh, well, going back, even if you read in Joshua 2, and Rahab, this prostitute, she was a pagan, but she heard about this God that rescued them out of Egypt. And then God did something special in her heart to where she was given glory, and she believed in this true God, that God of Israel was a true living God. And she hid the spies. And later on, she was actually saved when Jericho fell. And then she came into the line, the ancestral line of who? Jesus. How God works. He's not afraid of anything or anybody. He just works his will. See, shake them awake and to awake them. That's what God's one of, that's his thing. See, he shakes people. He shakes me. He shook me to where I fell down. Brokenhearted finally and repenting and believing. Listen to this. There's a reason why, because that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. See, the enemy's kingdom, they're looking for captives. They want plunder. He wants plunder. So everybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in this world today is a captive of the devil. I don't care what you say. I don't care how nice they are. They don't have to be blowing up things and shooting people and all that. Their ladder is short. And their feet are in the kingdom of Satan. And they might even like where I think sometimes people like to, you know, be in one and then they start dangling their foot over the other and into God's kingdom. And Satan's happy with that because you're just fooling yourself. But God's calling us to jump into his kingdom fully, both feet planted. And so he's going to shake us, and he's not afraid to shake us up. He's not afraid to do things in our lives that'll break us. He'll even take loved ones away from us. He'll even throw a whole nation into a civil war to shake people, to draw them to himself. I really believe that. And it's because of this, in Ephesians 4, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. See, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He hardened it himself, and God also hardened it, just kind of piled on it. We do the same thing. There's the same thing about suppressing the truth. So instead of bowing down to the true living God and repenting and believing in him, the Philistines did what? They're swatting them away like a fly. Get out of here. Send it away. It's killing us. It's pretty, okay. If you're not going to fall down before them, then that's the other way to do it. Get them out of here. Get him out of here. He's going to kill us all. See, God, but one thing we have to remember about God, we have to go back to his heart. God's heart is that none should perish and come to repentance. God's heart is that all will be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not suppress the truth, but to come to knowledge of the truth. That is God's heart. He doesn't want one Philistine to hit the floor without him, going to dust without him. He doesn't want one Egyptian to go down without him. He doesn't want anybody to go down without him. And so he's willing to go to battle for us. The Philistines rejected God's presence, though. And so the judgment will continue on. God's working all the time. He's going to keep at you. I notice in my life sometimes God will start making me sick or feeling pain when I'm living in sin or having, you know, there's something, unforgiveness in my life or something like that. And it really hurts. And when I finally let it go, it's gone. But when I don't, it just kind of increases. I don't know about you, but sometimes the pain increases. And the sadness and the heaviness of heart increases even more. You know, God is, he's saying, get out of the lazy boy chair and come to me. Bring all your burdens to me, for I care for you. The Israelites focus on doing. Okay, they're trying to do all the rituals, all that stuff, right? Doing all that. And being, right? Oh, we're God's people. We're okay. Doesn't matter if we have a relationship with them. We're still his people. We're in. Problem was, they weren't. So send it away. They, God moved away, even though he had his presence. God is still God, and the box moved away. But it's just the Israelites felt like they lost God and his glory. And you know, there's a carefulness even for us today, and even for the future. See why? What is God up to? Because he doesn't want us to get into this point in our lives. He doesn't want anybody in this present day time that is alive and kicking to get to this point here in Revelation. Let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You reject God, suppress the truth, and you're going to find yourself in a spot that you're going to be calling the rocks down on you because you don't want to be in his presence because it's just too powerful, too terrifying. God loves us, but he's also a holy, perfect God, all powerful, and he is not afraid to shake us up. So if there's something shaking in your life, maybe we need to come to his feet. See, the only heavenly ladder is Jesus himself. He had to be shaken, didn't he? He was put on the cross. He really wasn't shaken. He knew all about it, but he did it for us. Bleeding out on the cross. Try it sometime. It's not very pleasant. No, it isn't. But he did it to wake up everybody in the history of the world. He's trying to wake us up to take us out of that captivity of the enemies holding on to us with deception and all that stuff. All this counterfeit stuff, the counterfeit gospel, you know, the ministries, the ministers, the false teachings, all that stuff. He just keeps on throwing it out there and saying, you're okay. Just don't talk about God. Don't look at God. Don't pray. Don't do anything. Don't get in the word. Christ on the cross, you can't miss it. His death and then his resurrection. So you got to deal with it one way or another. You got to reject it like a Philistine, or you got to receive it like a Peter, like a Paul. So are your gods being toppled today? I hope so. You know what? I hope so. And you know what your main God is? I don't know about you, but I know my main God is me, me, me. And what a struggle it is. Remember Jacob struggling with God's angel? That's what I do daily, because of me, me, me. Me, myself, and I. That's my biggest God. And when I fall down like a Dagon on my face before him and just say, just take me as plunder, Jesus. I'm just going to give this. I'm holding on to this. I just got to give this to you. When I finally reach that moment, yeah, he'll take that away. It's amazing how he'll do that. He's that gracious. He's patient, for sure. But there is a time when the patience is done, right? Do you feel God's heavy hand? Well, if you do, just like I've said before, you know, come to the Lord. Something going on in your life. It might even not be you. It might be a loved one or somebody. But something coming down, you feel his heavy hand. Come to him. You feeling a panic? You're anxious about something? Something coming up called Judgment Day, and you're kind of going, I don't know if I'm good enough. Well, you better come to the cross, Christ, and say, God, I am not good enough. I need Jesus. Help me, as Sam prayed. Help me. And God does. Amazingly, he cares for us. A lot of people say he doesn't care. See, there's good news in it all. There's good news. Can you believe it? You read this chapter 5 and say, what's good about this? Well, it certainly shows God's heart. His willingness to shake us up and give us opportunities to come to him. And he'll show his power over our gods. Me? Or whatever else we're making God. He'll do that. He's willing to do that. And he's there. He doesn't run away. He's saying, just come to me. Just throw it down. Come to me. And I'll take care of you. I'll take that sin away from you. I'll help you through this. I'll give you new life. Sometimes it's a Christian. Each one of us have to do that. Repenting moment to moment, day to day. That's a Christian life. If you don't find yourself repenting day to day, then there's an issue. Because you're not walking in reality of who you are before a holy God. And if you don't know God, then you're just like a Philistine rejecting him right now. You need to come to the cross. And who would have thought that there'd be a word of good news in a book called Lamentations? Can you believe that? Come on. No way. Right? Well, let me read a little bit before we stop here. This is what it says here. It's picking up at 19. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering. Maybe you know this too. The bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Whoa, hope. Because of the Lord's great love, you are not consumed. I am not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Some say is mercy. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I say to myself, Lord, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the ones who seek Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. We need to get shaken up. We need our souls on fire. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Those He knows, right? Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. Though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. For He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. He has a purpose in that. He had a purpose for the Philistines. He had a purpose for the Israelites to see His power, that He is God, and they need to come with Him with a true hope, a true relationship with Him, a life-changing relationship where they are surrendered to Him and living their lives for Him out of love. And it says there in verse 40, it says, let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. That's how we respond. That's how the Philistines should respond. That's how the Philistines in those days should have responded. That's the way the Israelites should have responded back then and today as well. He's an awesome God. We are the ones that build ladders. He didn't build a ladder. He built a cross. Ladders fail. The cross is the only one that gets us into heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the shakeup, Lord. It is so important to examine our hearts and to come before You and know that You are God. And Lord, that You're not there to condemn us, but You're there to free us from captivity. You're there to, with Your unfailing love, is to raise us up out of the ashes so we can have a new life, a beautiful life in Christ. Yes, Father, let us not be like the Philistines or Israelites in those days, Lord, that rejected You or just lost contact with You. Oh, Father, give us hungry hearts for the things of You, to where we're allowing ourselves to topple down before You and admitting that You are the true one living God. And we must be accountable to You. And we must walk in fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must follow those commands You have given us to be a witness to all the nations, to our Judea, our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And to love You with all we are and to love others. Father God, help us. Help us, I pray. Help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, all His people say, amen.